In the beginning, there was a creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Welcome back to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
I'm Daniel.
Intern.
Intern, you just wrecked the internet.
What?
My internet's not working. Did you do something to it?
What did you do to my internet?
Knew it was. So what's been up, Kev? How have you been doing?
All my thoughts, because every day's Saturday.
Well, let me say, first off, this is episode 206.
We made it to 206.
Wow, and we're closing in on the end of 2018.
Did we kill anybody to make it this far? I think we did. There must be some bodies out here somewhere.
I think there's this, I'm not going to say scattered corpses, but I'm going to say scattered people along the way. You know, I don't know where Joe is or PSP.
PSP refuses to get Skype, so she's done. That was her choice.
Or Mark the Movie Buff.
Mark the Movie Buff is in bed. He told me it was too late to record.
Okay. Well, priorities. I don't know. I mean, and then, of course, we all miss Deb.
Oh, Deb's our favorite.
What's that?
What happened to our old sound guy, Judson? Did he drop dead, too?
Oh, Judson, yeah. Remember we recorded in his basement or something a couple times?
Yeah, so that's all right. We got rid of him, too. He had to go.
In with the band gear.
Then we have this new recruit named Daniel. He won't last long.
Oh, okay.
He likes to talk smack about me behind my back and doesn't think I hear about it.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Anything to say about that, Dan?
No.
No? Did you not talk smack about me?
Talk smack about the king of Twitter.
Well, tonight
What is this? I didn't hear about this. You talked
about
him and didn't invite me? What happened?
Oh, no, it's not a big thing.
No, no, it is for me. You can go into it, Dan.
Oh, no. I just told Mark that Simon says he always says he's the king of Twitter. That was about it.
And you've had enough of it. Be honest. Get the whole thing out. It's cathartic.
No, you say it a lot. So it's like, okay.
So is this actually an episode of Simon Breaks the Internet?
Yes, I think it is.
Yes.
Well, the first movie on our list tonight is Ralph Breaks the Internet.
It's the story of Bob on the computer.
I just need a friend.
Ooh, every day is Saturday.
Are you my friend? Okay, so directed by Phil Johnston and Rich Moore, starring John C. Reilly, Sarah Silverman, Gail Godot, Tariji
Gail Godot?
P. Henson.
Gal Gadot?
Yeah, I thought I should have. Jack McBrayer, Jane Lynch, Alan Tudyk, Alfred Molina, Ed O'Neill, and Flula Borg.
Yeah, Flula Borg. That's what I was looking forward to.
Who wants to start on this?
This is from any Disney movie.
I think the interns should start. This is an intern movie.
And Anthony Daniels is in it, too.
Oh, right. Yeah, and a bunch of cameos.
Stanley,
although they didn't put his dialogue in.
Did he have dialogue?
He recorded dialogue for it. Apparently, they just decided not to run it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you see him.
You do see him. So, intern, how was your movie?
You know, I saw it and I thought I would like it, I think, for the most part, but I was disappointed because it wasn't as good as the first one.
That's correct.
Right. Mm. I mean, it was good. I enjoyed it. But it wasn't as good. It's still, I found that lacking.
I find your internet connection lacking. You're breaking up, but that's all good. Let's go. I'll follow the two internet. Kevin, I was excited.
Don't listen to me anyway. So
we went out for dinner ahead of time, me and the family. We all went to see it together, four of us. This movie is not funny. It's missing what the first one had. The first one was cliquey, funny. The jokes were solid. You know what I mean? It kept me amused, I guess. This one I found boring, repetitious, without cause, did not need to be made.
Interesting. Right. And what did the kids think?
My kids liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Any adult that I know went to see it thought it was boring. There were other adults I knew there, and I asked them, they didn't like it either. So I think it's dumbed down. It's just because they don't do anything exciting. They're missing the jokes. Like, the jokes were great in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Zangief is there, and you see other characters from the first one, but there's no real interaction. Like, that whole townsfolk people was dumb. I thought them adopting the kids was dumb. I thought Jane Lynch stood out like a sore thumb in this film.
Yeah.
I thought she had nothing to do. I thought Gal Gadot, this character, was silly, useless. I never really thought there was a problem that wasn't going to be solved. I really did not see any issue they couldn't have solved myself. I could figure out how to do it. You know, and the big problem is Ralph, the Ralph bot, and they imitate King Kong, really?
Really? The only good part for me was, like, when she got in that room with all the princesses and they said, has all your problems been solved, think they can solve me by a man? And I'm going, That was one.
That was good. That was probably the best gag in the film, when she makes them all sweatshirts.
And when they save Ralph from falling with the Snow White dress.
And I thought that was okay, but it didn't make me laugh. I'm like, okay, that's cute, but I like that scene interaction, but that was 5 minutes in a 2-hour movie? Really? Not good enough.
I feel like I really like revisiting this world, though, because I really like the characters, and it was cool that they went out of the arcade and onto the internet, and just, like all the world building, I thought was really creative, and, yeah, I can't remember a lot of the jokes except for that, like, Snow White thing. And then, I think some of the funniest stuff was during the credits when the little girl was like, I saw something in the trailer, but they didn't put it in the movie.
Yes, that was hysterical.
Yeah, that was really good. And then the Rick roll at the end, that's just the best troll of 2018, I think.
Before Kevin speaks, I think the best joke of the movie is the last thing at the end credits.
Yeah, exactly. Like the... click here for the Frozen 2, and then he just does the brick roll.
The cat gets the waffles, or the thing that Bunny gets the waffles, and the other cat, and he's just feeding them to him.
Cat gets the milkshake.
That's it.
Did you guys not stay for the whole thing? There was something after.
I did.
There was something after that?
There was a song after.
It's like click here for a Frozen 2 teaser trailer, and it's Ralph singing the Rick Roll song. Like, never gonna give you up.
Simon,
are we on another planet? Because I thought you just talked about that.
Yeah, I didn't think Simon stayed for it.
No, I did not stay for it. Well, my family wanted to leave.
He thought it was the best joke of the internet.
I thought the best joke was the milkshake and the cat thing.
Oh, all right, okay.
That should have been in the movie. I might have liked it more.
Well, Simon, you missed the part where Ralph says, try getting that song out of your head now, people. He says, are you still waiting for more? Too bad. Go away.
I'm done. It's time for me to go.
So, like, the villain wasn't as good because there wasn't really any villain, and I think the main conflict was Ralph's insecurity. But I thought that was relatable still. But, like,
relatable
a real
to who?
Villain would be good.
Who was that relatable to? You?
Yeah, I mean, it's like people... Like,
just because you're not insecure, Simon.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people have insecurities, you know?
Yeah.
So, just
not you.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, he's insecure in himself. Like, he doesn't want to lose his friend, and it's like not holding your friends back. And I think that's a relatable message.
But that is so evident. I didn't pay money to listen to a Mr. Rogers episode.
But, like, there's always messages for kids anyway. And it worked. I thought the movie worked as a whole, though.
No,
it didn't. I liked it.
Calvin,
I enjoyed it.
Help these guys.
I'm somewhere in between. I really thought, I mean, I don't, Wreck-It Ralph, I remember enjoying the first one, but not loving it. Like, I liked it, and I remember it fondly, but not enough to want to see a sequel. And the sequel itself was flat. I really thought... For many of the reasons you've mentioned before, the jokes weren't funny. The characters weren't particularly interesting. We've already seen enough of this concept as far as it can go. So, okay, yes, taking it on the internet, great. A really smart idea. And then I liked all the little tech jokes. So I went with two friends who work in IT, and they were laughing their asses off at all the little references in the background, all the different websites, and they were all the different in-jokes that were there in the background as far as, you know, trailers full of mail. Oh, those are emails. You know, like stupid things like that. They liked that.
All those Twitter birds.
Yeah, the Twitter feed. And all they were tweeting were pictures of cats back and forth. It was cute. And then she goes to the Disney website. And I thought that was very well done. A lot of the little in-jokes, Star Wars and Marvel, Disney characters. You know,
there was a Stan Lee cameo.
Yes, Stan Lee's got his cameo in there. And then I enjoyed the bit where this guy's like talking about Captain America and the World Tree and all this stuff, and it's Groot, little Groot on the stage going, "I am Groot."
That was funny.
How do you feel about that, my brother? I am Groot. Oh, okay, thank you.
I'm like the flame.
Yeah.
Are you an aspect of the World Tree, Yggdrasil? I am Groot.
I like that when Ralph was recreating all the viral videos, though. That was pretty funny.
That was cute. As the goat. Of course, I love the goat.
Yeah.
And then all the little things with, you know, he was eating chili peppers and
doing makeup tutorials.
Cooking, and that was fun. And then it just kind of devolves. I did like Gal Gadot's character. I thought she was amusing. You know, she always wins, so she's kind of amused when things don't exactly go her way. And she has a fondness for Vanellope.
Yeah.
And Vanellope really makes a home there. And there's a good argument, like, well, does Vanellope really need to be part of Sugar Rush?
No, she's a glitch.
Or whatever it is.
She's a glitch.
I think, because, like, the MacGuffin of, like, the steering wheel for Vanellope's broken game, like, directs the movie, basically. It's just where the goal they're reaching, but it's more for Ralph than her.
Mm-hmm.
And the game that was the game that was the Godot's character was in was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Hank's character. Yeah.
And there were some fun jokes there, I thought, with the kind of Grand Theft Auto type of game.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, I just found it was flat. I found I wasn't like overly, and some of the under the dark web and creating a virus and don't look at the guy's neck and all that stuff. I'm like, you know,
that kind of
sneaky to me.
Kind of reminded me of like Austin Powers and Goldmember when he's trying not to acknowledge the mole.
Moly.
Yeah, and then he's just like, oh, like you have the neck cyst or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Goiter.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't love this movie. I don't think I want to revisit it again, other than the princesses scene.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, that's fair.
I love that. All right, that C-3PO was their MC. Yeah. Princesses, we are on in 5 minutes. Yeah.
So are we going to see Penelope at Disneyland now?
Well, I guess so. I don't know why Princess Leia wasn't a Disney princess in that.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, oh, she could have been in there. And Amidala.
Yeah, true.
And did you guys catch the trailer for the Lion King?
I blocked it, but it was on.
Yeah.
I didn't get there in time for that.
Oh.
It's nice that they've made another animated movie of the Lion King.
I heard. I have not seen it. So does it look like
animated?
That was what? This is another.
It looks like a real lion from the picture I saw.
Sure, but it's not. It's a digitally created animated lion to make it look like a real lion.
As like Jungle Book and Life of Pi, I guess.
And it's got voice actors doing the voices. So, and some of them are the same voice actors as the previous version.
You're kidding me.
Well, James Earl Jones is in it.
God. Seriously?
Yeah.
So why should I watch this then? It sounds like a big waste of my time.
Well, if you want to see the old movie turned into a hyper-realistically real, like with real-looking animals and Seth Rogen, This is your movie.
No, I'm good.
Yay.
No, I'm good. I have no interest. Zero.
It's like, well, this generation needs another version of Lion King to milk the tree.
Well, the first one's amazing. Don't the money tree. Screw it up.
I don't think they're going to screw it up. I think it's going to be pretty much the same.
Yeah,
shut that. Up and take my money.
Shut up and take my money. Dana's already got 14 tickets and bought all the plushies.
Yeah, Chiwetel Ejiofor as playing Scar.
So, Daniel, can I come to the movie theater when you rented it out for free? Can I just show up?
What?
For your Lion King preview first thing in the morning, you know, do you give out, like, advent calendars or something to people that come, like, free popcorn?
There's the movie theater by me where, like, on a weekday no one's there, so just, I don't even have to rent a theater.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Don't tell that to Bob, he'll come regularly.
Road trip. Yeah, though, like for Ralph breaks the internet, like for the world building, I feel like it at least like wipes away the memory of the Emoji Movie.
Oh God! Nothing will ever wipe away the memory of the Emoji Movie, because I'm sure they'll make Emoji Movie 2 at some point.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, did anybody else see the trailer for Ugly Dolls?
Oh, I love Ugly Dolls.
I've forgotten those things ever existed.
I have one.
You have an ugly doll?
Yeah, I have an ugly doll. It's like 5-10 feet away from me.
Where did you get an ugly doll?
And I bought one for my niece at one point. She loved it.
Where did you get an ugly doll?
I don't know. I bought it at some con.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen them in years. 2001 they came out.
Did you name it Bob?
No, I didn't.
I'm kidding.
Wow. That wasn't very nice.
I think it's Fred.
Fred, I like Fred.
Okay, moving along. Speaking about Lion King and kings, are we moving along to Outlaw King?
No, we're moving along to the Grinch.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, bad segue.
I was working on it. It was good. Ho, ho, ho.
That was a good try. We'll do a take two in a bit. So, Dr. Seuss's The Grinch.
About another movie that's been remade for like the third time.
True.
Yeah.
And animated.
Yeah.
Yeah, starring Benedict Cumberbatch as the Grinch, Cameron Seeley as Cindy Lou Who, Rashida Jones, Pharrell Williams, he narrates, and Keaton Thompson.
Let's start at the top. Pharrell Williams needs to go. Absolutely boring listening to Pharrell Williams.
I mean, he got the job for...
He's got a paycheck.
Because he sang happy for just a...
He was terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, my daughter and me went to see this.
Okay.
And she's 7, so I figured this is the perfect audience. She told me it was boring. She goes, Daddy, nothing happened. I'm like, I know. I watched the whole, nothing happened. They added the extended scenes for no apparent reason. We got to see the inside of the Grinch cave. Didn't do anything for me.
Yeah,
I thought the reindeer scenes were somewhat okay at times. I thought the animation was nice, but I see no point to this film or why they remade it. Just for a cash grab is the only answer. It took them 2 years to make this. Maybe they can make some jokes.
They wanted to update it, like update it for the next generation.
But no creativity in it, so I don't know why they would.
Why would you update perfection?
You think that Jim Carrey one is perfection?
No, that's a piece of crap.
Okay.
Ron Howard directed it.
But with both the Jim Carrey one and this one, is that there's not enough story. It's like, what, like a 20-page Dr. Seuss book. There's not enough plot for
that's the problem.
Film.
Create one.
Yeah, and they don't. And, like, I don't think I laughed at all during this. Like, I might have smiled, but it was probably because that neighbor played by Keenan Thompson. I thought he was okay.
He was the only thing good.
Yeah, exactly.
And they didn't sing the Wahoo song nearly long enough for me. Wahoo, Wahoo, Wahoo.
I thought the world looked nice, but, like, it was just kind of weird that, like, they didn't really know Grinch was just hated them all. He just thought he was kind of a Grinch. And, I don't know, it's just a... And then Cindy Lou Who's basically, like, doesn't really talk to him, and she's just trying to catch Santa. And it's, yeah, it's
weird. I guess my whole point is his name's Mr. Grinch the whole film. Like, where's his first name? Like, give me a background on him of interest.
His name is Joseph.
Is it?
No.
Did I miss that?
I think Grinch is his first name. Grinch who?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, actually, that makes
sense. No, can they call him Mr. Grinch?
I thought that Grinch was a what?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh.
So, like, when I went to go see this, like, someone was, like, a woman was bringing her kid to it, and it was their, like, I heard her say that it's his first movie at the theaters, and I was like, oh, I feel that makes my heart hurt that he's going to look back, and this is his first movie. But it could have been, like, Wreck-It Ralph, which was better, but, like, yeah.
Bob, you told me this was a Bob film. Why?
There we are. Oh, okay. I did? I thought I told you the other one was a Bob film.
No.
You told me it was a Bob film.
You told me you loved it.
It was okay.
What did you like about it?
I'm losing the picture for some reason.
It's fine. We can hear you. Keep going. Why did you like The Grinch?
It gave him more of a backstory for, like, the original one didn't really give him a backstory. This sort of gave him a backstory about why he became a Grinch, because he felt unloved at Christmas, so, like, he started hating it and hating it more. It turned out to be what I thought was, like, and by the end, I thought, okay, this is okay.
I think you would hate it, too. Some jackass that lives across from you puts up some giant Christmas tree and runs lights into your house all day. I'd be pretty pissed off, too.
Yeah.
You know, nobody invites you over. I mean, nobody's nice to him.
Yeah.
Right.
And he has to go shopping because he had the stress eat.
Right.
I did like the scene in the supermarket when the woman can't quite reach to the top of the shelf. And he drops it. I'm like, okay. Yeah. And then I think to myself, why are the shelves so high here? None of them are tall.
No.
It's just so he could do that, I guess.
I know, and that was her big joke. I'm like, okay.
But I know in the Jim Carrey one, I thought they did give him, like, a background for why he didn't like Christmas, because it was kind of the same thing. Like, he threw the Christmas tree because everyone made fun of his beard, and then he just ran away from everyone. And yeah, then he just hates being alone rather than Christmas.
I guess what I'm looking for is who made the Grinch?
Yeah, this one doesn't get explained. Like, in the first one, it was storks, right? Yes. That just brought him by.
So where does the Grinch come from? That's what I'm looking for in the new movie with an extra long animated.
Spontaneous combustion.
Generally, a Mama Grinch and a Papa Grinch get together.
But where are they?
And they conceive a baby Grinch.
The bird and the baby.
Well, they were so annoyed by him, they abandoned him.
They must have. Even his dog loves him. His dog loves him, though. Max is great.
Max is a dog.
I have nothing to say about the Grinch. Go watch the old one.
Maybe his parents and the penguin's parents, like, went off together because they couldn't stand either one.
Quite possible.
Hey, Bob, did anybody stare at important water and sing?
No important water.
I mean, if no he melted snow, he might have.
Okay.
Oh, that reminds me. Sarah Silverman should not be allowed to sing ever again.
Uh-huh. I thought that was a good little scene. I mean, yeah, she's not good at singing, but, like, I thought it was a catchy little song.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. We'll get the soundtrack for your stocking, okay?
Okay.
I'm sure you'll love that one. You can watch that and play it during football games.
I'll text you my address. You send it along.
No, I'm coming in person.
Okay, that's better.
I like food. Have it ready when I get there.
I'd rather have the soundtrack for The Grinch, actually.
No. You might like that. I'm getting you that Penelope song.
I have the soundtrack for both.
Oh, no. was it just me that Cindy Lou Who, with her hair, she kind of looked like a Martian?
I'd rather watch Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
What?
This is just terrible. I don't want. I'm done. This film stinks. I'm moving on.
Yeah. Okay. So,
Gavin, where are we going?
All right. How about The Girl with the Spider Web?
Sure. Me and Bob actually saw this together on a Saturday.
Oh, it was a date?
Me and Bob had a date, held hands. Mm-hmm. He didn't buy me anything, though. I was most upset by that.
No candy?
I brought my own because I know what Bob's like.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't share.
And so how was Queen Elizabeth as the the girl with the spider thing?
Bob, you go first.
Let me do the credits first.
Sure.
Yeah,
Blair Boyd. Okay,
so directed
actually,
by
Simon, you go first after that because I want to hear this.
No, nope, okay. You go first.
Directed by Phoebe Alvarez, who did Evil Dead. Claire Foy, Sevier Gudnason, Sylvia Hoyt, Stanfield, Stephen Merchant. Those names are hard.
Very hard for you. Bob, what'd you think of the girl in spiderwebs?
It looks like they're
Claire Foy was trying to act like the first one. I didn't find it. I found it wanting. Like I'm not 100% sure I enjoyed it.
I agree.
I didn't really enjoy it all that much.
I'm going to agree with all your points. I think the major problem is Claire Foy is not interesting as an actress. I think it doesn't work. And the guy, the author that helps her, the journalist, he's terrible too. He's flat. I thought her
It's almost like a female James Bond or a female whatever. They were trying to do a female James Bond.
I think the problem is the casting. The casting is all flat. The only person I like is her sister.
Yeah.
I thought she had some teeth. The villain had some great teeth. Claire Foy doesn't even look like she wanted to be in the movie.
No.
I mean, it seemed to be really badly cast, is what I want to say. I enjoyed the storyline.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I had no issues with that. I liked the U.S. guy coming over. I liked Claire Foy hacking him. I liked the beginning when she ties up the guy. But I just thought the film was flat. Because I liked the first one a lot. But again, I think you see the difference between a Fincher directing film and whoever this clown is directing a film.
Have you seen the other movies?
Pardon?
Have you seen the other movies? The German ones?
No, the Swiss ones. I've not seen the Swiss ones.
They've done like three of them.
There's only three books.
Okay.
That he wrote. But I mean, I like this film. I think it had potential, but I think the cast is the issue. Claire Foy does not impress me as Elizabeth in any way. Elizabeth, it just doesn't impress me. The journalist is so flat, you could fall asleep watching him.
Yeah.
Like, why if I watch him make pancakes, he'd be just as interesting. He has no range of emotion. He's just like, oh, okay. Oh, we got to go help Elizabeth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just disappointing. Very disappointing. I blame it all on the cast. And the cast was terrible. Should have been better. No, Bob?
I just said I agreed with you, and you agreed with me on all points.
Okay, great. Moving along.
What do you want me to say? Go over the same thing I just said again? No.
I want you to be an overlord, Bob.
What?
I want you to be an overlord.
You want me to waste 2 hours of my time again for that one?
Yes.
Well, you got me to waste 2 hours of my time already. Okay. Overlord.
Thanks. Hit it, okay. Dan.
Directed by Julius Avery, starring Yovan Adepo, Wyatt Russell, Pilu Aspic, Ethelie Olivier, John Majuro, Ian DeCastaker, Jacob Anderson, and Bokeem Woodbine.
My time was wasted on this. I started losing my attention waiver, and it was just like it went downward from that. It was like that wasn't my kind of movie at all. I'm looking at it, I'm going, when's this gonna end? I think the only things were the cinematography was any good, but the rest of it was just like boring for me.
Hey Bob, what was this movie about?
About 2 hours, 2 hours long.
No, what was it about?
I thought it was something. It was like World War II, wasn't it?
Yeah, American soldiers are stuck on like enemy lines on D-Day.
Hold on,
Kevin. Did you watch it, Kevin?
No, I didn't see it.
The movie.
I think you'd like it. It's, but it, you might like it. It was, just wasn't my kind of movie.
I loved it.
Dan
Apparently,
loved
this
it.
Is a remake of Dead Heat.
Dead Heat?
What?
You ever seen that movie with Jim Belushi or John Piscopo, Wood, the brother of Belushi?
I thought it was Joe Piscopo.
Joe Piscopo and a Belushi.
I've seen it. I don't remember it, but I did see it.
Yeah.
It doesn't like anything like that.
It's about making people come back from the dead. this movie about zombies, Nazi zombies?
Yes.
Well, I mean, we might as well spoil it. They're, so they're doing experiments on the village people, and they have a serum that...
Wait a second. The village people are in this movie. That sounds like a more interesting movie. Macho Man.
Yeah, they come back to life, and they start singing Macho Man.
And then
they kill everybody.
YMCA, I like to die at the... Sorry.
Yeah, but yeah, basically they have like serums, and after they kill them and do experiments on them, they bring them back, and they're basically making super soldiers, immortal super soldiers that could lead the Nazis to victory.
Nice.
Yep.
And,
I think the whole problem is they can't control the villains. They can't control the monsters they created.
Well, I mean, I think that's what they were trying to perfect with doing all the experiments, maybe.
Well, they're not
they
very good
at it. Figure that one out after.
Yeah, they couldn't really figure that one out. They stunk.
I thought they were really cool.
It plays like a video game, but I thought I was watching people play video games.
I didn't get that sense. I thought it was really cool.
But I didn't like it.
I thought it was really cool when the one buddy, like... He had a serum, and then his freaking neck did like a backflip, and like the puppetry of that. His face looked really weird, but I thought that was cool. But because you thought it was boring too, right, Simon?
The first hour put me to sleep, but I like the second hour.
See, I was hooked from the beginning. They're on the thing, and I like getting to know characters, and then I thought it was like a Denpo reporter shooting down, and just the tension of on Emily, like being on Emily. Enemy lines is really cool. Mm-hmm. And I just thought like the structure of it really worked for me. The characters really worked, like the body horror. And I thought this was really awesome. And like the main Nazi guy looked cool at the end. His face looked kind of weird, but like the makeup up for it was really good.
The Uwe Boss. It's just a video game, Daniel. It plays like a video game, Mike. Resistance. It really thought I was playing Resistance.
That's Resistance.
It's a PS2 game. You fight zombies and they're Nazis. And...
Well, I mean, that's kind of like a video game structure. But they do make compelling characters. I thought.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
I thought the main guy was good. How like they don't think he. What?
Joaquin Woodbine or Wyatt Russell?
No, Jovan Adepo.
He looks like Wyatt Russell?
No, he's the black guy.
That's his name? Who's the white guy? Isn't that
Wyatt Russell. That's okay. Kurt Russell's son. I thought the other guy was the main character, though. Because, they don't think he can be a soldier because, he wouldn't even, hurt the mouse. And
yeah, right.
I thought he was interesting, and I thought... You know, trying to get Wyatt Russell's character to do the right thing was compelling because Wyatt Russell is just all about the objective, which is destroying the telecommunications tower. So
isn't that the whole issue at the end of the film? They talk about that when the general shows up or the other commanders. So you sort of stumbled on this base. Yeah, we just stumbled on it after we took out the tower. Yep, that was it.
Oh, and they said there's nothing else down there because they didn't want the serum to get on even on their side because it's
exactly
so powerful. Yeah. I'm alone on this. I'm loving it, but that's fine.
Oh, you're definitely on your own island.
I really, really dug it.
Yeah, that's nice. Put it on your top 10 list so I can make fun of you again.
Yeah, I probably will.
Yeah, I could expect more fun.
Oh, what?
Never mind.
Okay. No, yeah, I love that's good.
Where are we going now, Kevin?
What other major theatrical releases do we have on our list?
Hate U Give.
How about that one?
Ooh.
And one more after that.
Directed by George Tillman Jr., starring Amanda Stenberg, Regina Hall, Russell Hornsby, Anthony Mackie, Issa Rae Common, Algie Smith, KJ Apa, and Sabrina Carpenter.
Ooh.
KJ Apa, Archie?
Yes.
Yeah, Archie's he looks really hair. He looks really weird and with black hair.
Yeah, it took me a couple seconds to see him.
Looked a little out of place in this movie.
Yeah, stark black hair instead of like the red.
Yeah.
It was off-putting a little bit at first.
I'm going to give KJ Apa a thing. I thought he did a good job. I thought everybody in this film did a good job.
What's it about?
It's about a hate crime, pretty much. A cop shoots a black unarmed kid.
Yes.
And it grows from there.
He's going for his hairbrush, and then it follows the friends, like, because she's going to have to testify in front of a grand jury.
I think there's more to the story than that. That's the main story, but there's a good subplot about her dating a white guy. The lead girl.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the dad doesn't know about it.
And the dad doesn't know about it. And I think it's well structured. I think the first hour of the film is almost all structure for the end of the film.
Yeah. It was really beautifully told.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I thought it was well casted. I like how they spent the first hour pretty much away from the main storyline. But they touched on it early when the dad's going over the rules. Put your hand on the steering wheel. Do this, do that, do this. We're the Black Panthers. Make sure you know the rules.
It's honestly so sad that, like, white kids get the birds and the bees. And then black kids get the, okay, you have, to, like, how to approach cops.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, opening with that is so effective. And it just sets the whole tone for the film, and that's amazing.
But I think the film tricks you at that point, because it doesn't go that way. You expect to be a hardcore Black Panther movie at the beginning. And then it really, with that whole love story with Archie and the main black lead, it works well. Yeah, she's excellent. And then it takes that wicked turn in the middle. Where her friend dies.
Mm-hmm.
And then the film just turns over. Okay, we're going to show you basically the other side of the film. And when this film hit the end of the film for the big climax,
oh man,
I was dead. No idea what was going to happen. Like, I was so riveted by the end of this film.
Yeah, me too. And
I'm glad it went the way it went, but I could see it going the other way just as easily. And I think that would have taken me, I would have said you guys win. I did not see that coming.
And I thought it was, like, interesting, like, as for the characters, I thought it was interesting that Sabrina Carpenter's character, like, Haley, she kind of exemplified, like, oh, like, that poor family, what the cop's going through kind of thing. Yeah. And, like, just the other side of it. And, yeah, I thought that was really compelling. And I thought it was interesting, like, what, like, the Hate U Give stood for, like, Thug Life, the Hate U Give, little infants, fuck everybody.
Yeah, I love that. I had no idea until you get to the end of the film, it explains it all to you. I'm like, I'm in. This film is fantastic. Yeah.
And throughout a little bit, too. And I, like, Russell Hornsby, I think that's one of my favorite performances this year. The dad as Maverick.
I agree.
He was good, yeah.
He was so good.
I think she might get a Best Actress nod. I think it's
I really would love him, too. He was just, like, electric and just,
I think,
like,
he'll get a supporting nod. I really think Kevin needs to see this film.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to, Kevin. Like, I was at, like, the theater I was at to see it, it was completely full. They reacted, the audience reacted in all the right places, and, like, by the end of it, it was like, they were clapping and they were going, oh no, he didn't say that, did he? And like I was hooked from start to finish. I was interested in it. Like, my attention was on the screen at all times. No wavering. I loved it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm shocked. I mean, now I want to see, cause this premiere was at TIFF, right? This could have been up for Best Picture at TIFF, right, Bob?
Yeah.
So I want to see how much better Green Book is than this.
Did it come out? I thought it came out in August. Or was it at last year's TIFF?
Was it this year's TIFF?
This year's TIFF.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, my bad.
And the Green Book beat it. I mean, I could see why. If you had to choose Hate U Give or Star Is Born, I think Hate U Give's a better film.
All three were up for best one. But Green Book finally came, was finally it.
So I'm dying to see.
I would have been happy with either all three of them.
I'm dying to see Green Book now and see which one's better.
Yeah.
And I thought it was cool how the dad, wanted them to use their superpower because he gave them names that empowered them. Star, which means light. And then I can't remember the youngest guy's name, but it meant joy.
Yeah.
And then the middle kid, or the seven, meant perfection.
Yeah, I really think this is a must-see for everybody. I think all three of us are going to put in our top 10 list at some point, in some order.
Yeah, I agree. I think so.
So, Kev, you missed one. Kev?
What did we miss? What's that?
You should see this. I definitely think you should see it.
I just didn't have enough time.
No problem, man. I know you're busy. Bad Times at the El Royale.
Oh, the youngest kid was named Sakani. My bad. Okay, yeah. That's it. That worked out.
He ended up with the gun at the end, and I'm going, here we go.
Spoilers! Bad Times at the El Royale, then.
Yeah. Directed by Drew Goddard, starring Jeff Bridges, Cynthia Erivo, Dakota Johnson, John Hamm, Chris Hemsworth, Kaylee Spaney, Lewis Pullman, and Nick Offerman, and Xavier Dolan.
Yep.
The bit roles.
Yep.
Did you want to start on this one, Seven?
Sure, I can go ahead. This is my kind of film. This is totally what I look for in a film. I love things that introduce characters right off the top. I like they all have quirks. I like how they show up at the hotel. I like the quirk in the hotel that half the side's Nevada, half the side's California. And you can drink on this side, you can't drink on that side. I enjoyed the flashbacks. Parts of this film I absolutely loved. But I don't think the film ever fully came together for me. What the hell is John Hamm doing there?
He's an FBI agent, right?
I want to know more. It didn't really.
I think he was after he knew about the side business that the teenager was doing, so he was after them for that.
Yeah, I think he received a tip about it, so he was looking for evidence.
See, and stuff I liked the singer. I thought she was excellent. The black woman, his name is forgotten now. I know she's
Cynthia Erivo.
She was amazing. Jeff Bridges is always good.
Yep.
I like Liam Hemsworth showing up. That was kind of cool. I thought Dakota Johnson can't act to save her life. I'm done.
That was weird.
Again, I find Dakota Johnson just boring to watch.
I thought she was really good.
But this is my kind of film. I liked it. Just never clicked for me well enough.
For me, it did. You want to go, Bob?
No, you go.
Okay, I thought it was just interesting that they had little chapters for each character, and I thought, I just love the structure of that. Their little chapters and what brought them all here, their backstory, and then I love when it just all comes together near the middle. And that structure just works for me. I know what you mean though, because some scenes I thought were over long, which I thought the scene where she was singing so Bridges could go underneath, I thought that was effective, but I thought it just dragged a little bit. For me?
No, I thought it was good.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, overall, I really love this one, too.
Me too.
And, near the end with, Chris Hemsworth, coming in, that, his character was fascinating. A Charles Manson type. That was really, really cool.
Yeah.
And I love Drew Goddard. the captain, Cabin in the Woods is one of my favorites.
I love Cabin in the Woods. I think Kevin's going to love this film. I think it's totally up Kevin's. I will like it more than I will.
Yeah, it's kind of a lot like Quentin Tarantino.
It tries to be a Tarantino film.
Yeah, it's like an homage in terms of...
I like it better than a Tarantino movie, though, I think. Because I like Cabin in the Woods. Drew Goddard is really good at his, in both directing movies.
I don't think you like Tarantino, Bob. He's too violent for you. He's very violent.
Yes, he was.
And he's a little too... This film, like I said, I think the parts are all there for me to watch it. I think half an hour could have been cut out.
Okay.
I think the runtime is way too long in this film.
It's all good.
The structure is very Pulp Fiction.
Which I love.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't like Pulp Fiction, but I like this movie.
Yeah, I wish Kevin had seen it, because I liked to hear Kevin's opinion, because I'm sure you'd find something in here I missed.
Hmm. Did you see it? Oh, no, sorry. Okay, I see what you mean. Okay.
Okay.
No, I didn't see it.
Okay. I was confused for, like, a split second.
Are we off to Netflix?
Why don't we do All the Money in the World?
Okay. All the Money in the World, directed by Oliver Stone.
It was Ridley Scott, wasn't it?
Oh, Ridley Scott. Okay.
Sorry, I forgot to get
Christopher Plummer. Mark Wahlberg.
It's originally supposed to be
Michelle Williams.
Uh-huh. And I don't remember who the kid is.
And Timothy Hutton, Charlie Plummer.
Yeah.
Not related to Christopher Plummer. That's about it.
Okay, Kev, you saw it recently. Go ahead. I have to think about it for a few
minutes. So, I mean, basically we're talking about the famous kidnapping of Paul O'Getty, or otherwise known as John Paul Getty III, in the early 70s. Basically, we learn a little bit about John Paul Getty, the self-made first billionaire, actually, and about how he was... He had estranged himself from his son, and they reconnected, and the son kind of fell into drugs and alcohol, and split from his wife, and anyway, it basically is about the kidnapping of this kid, and how the mother is trying to get him back, and the grandfather brings in Mark Wahlberg as his former CIA guy to negotiate getting him back. And he will not spend any money on paying the ransom. So there's a lot of talk about how it may be a joke or maybe a scam. Wahlberg agrees that he thinks it's a scam, lets it go. Then the kid's ear arrives in the mail. And they realize it's not a scam. And the original kidnappers sell him to the mafia. Essentially, and I don't know, it's a very interesting film in that I think it just looks at greed and the 1% and how when you have a lot of money, it's very hard for you to part with it.
Okay.
I think. Bob, what'd you say?
Yeah.
I just said yes.
Yeah, okay. And yeah, I think that's Christopher. I mean, Getty, like, what I know of Getty is more of the thumbprint of his art collection, the giant museum in Los Angeles that they built that's named after him, with this amazing art collection from all over the world, different eras and so forth. Because Getty found that he couldn't spend any money on himself, given the way that he structured the corporation, but the corporation could buy stuff. So he spent the money on art. And historical objects. And, you know, essentially when he dies, he leaves behind a huge fortune of art that he coveted, in a sense.
Did you find this film really interesting, though?
I did find it somewhat interesting in the psychology of the super rich.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay.
Because I think that's the kid says right from the front, he says, we're not like everybody else. We're a different type of human being, the super rich. Like, we don't behave the way you would think we would behave. We don't form relationships the same way. And I think of people like Donald Trump, even though I don't think he's super rich, I think it's a sham. But I think it's that kind of that same disconnect. There's a drive to make themselves great, that they lose their humanity along the way, like not willing to help his own grandson get out of a kidnapping scene.
Yeah, and I was thinking, because they kind of like they're super rich, but they're kind of cheap. They're really cheap too.
Yeah.
What was that thing that the grandfather gave the son that was like, oh, this is worth a lot of money, and then Michelle Williams brought it.
So well, it's a little...
this is a souvenir.
It's a little Minotaur...
Little Pharaoh?
Statue. No, it's a Minotaur. And, and she, you know, basically from the Labyrinth, the myth of the Labyrinth, and so she thinks it's... He tells her that it's worth one point something million at the time, but the reality was that he was, because he was saying it was something, it was people were willing to pay that amount of money.
Oh,
so I think with his backing, a $50 trinket becomes a $1.2 million historical object. Because she walks into the gift shop at the museum and sees that they're all over there in different sizes and shapes, and they're exactly what she has in it. They're not replicas. And
see, I didn't get that sense that, like, he makes something valuable with that, with his backing. So that's really interesting. I just thought he was just a kind of a schmuck. It was just cheap and is like, okay, like, I'm going to tell you this is $1 million, but hey, buddy, it's only worth like 40. Sorry.
Well, that's what he did. That's what he would do. He would make, but that was his salesmanship. Okay. He would make you believe that it was important.
Okay, I didn't pick up on that psychology. That's interesting.
I got that.
And that I've seen that with people I've encountered who are very rich, is they can sell you on a concept without any real merit to it.
True.
But because you think they're successful, that they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
And I think that was one of the reasons why Scott chose to do that movie, to give the message of the charlatan, businessman, rich man that, you know, how they often have shallow relationships and no concept of what they're talking about, but they can do good things in the grand scheme. You know, Getty's passing leads to the curation of great art museums and art galleries around the world. But while he was alive, he was the son of a bitch.
Yeah,
true.
Fair enough.
You know, that rip people off, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember this one that well, because it sounded like a January, but, like, it was interesting in the way that you learn about the history, but otherwise it's like, yeah, I don't ever need to see it again.
I agree. Another movie could have been shorter.
Again, it's Ridley Scott, so it's always going to be beautifully shot.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. And I like that scene when, like, they set the thing on fire and he escaped or whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought that character was interesting, that, like, he stole him, but, like, he didn't really, like, he felt bad about it.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was.
The one kidnapper who felt responsible for him.
Yeah.
Who helps in the end. And I read a bit on the real case, and he definitely took some dramatic merit towards the end there.
Yeah.
The kidnapper was
the last 20 minutes was, like, I remember being, like, in the last 20 minutes, but, like, that was the only time that I felt really enthralled with it.
Never was. Just went, eh.
And that was all fake, because reality is they just left him at a gas station and his mother found him there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There was no chase through the streets of Rome, and people wouldn't let him in and all that stuff, yeah.
That's not cinematic.
No, exactly. That's like Bohemian Rhapsody and all the stuff they did there.
Okay.
But I don't know. I enjoyed it. I still thought it was good. It was more interesting than I was expecting it to be.
Fair enough.
Okay, fair enough.
You got about 12 minutes for your film, Kevin.
All right, so Outlaw King was our Netflix choice.
Yes. Directed by David McKenzie, starring Chris Pine, Florence Pugh, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Stephen Dillane, and Billy Howell. I didn't really see anyone else because it was listed in, like, order of appearance, and I didn't really want to go through the whole list.
Wow, I didn't even recognize Aaron Taylor Johnson until you mentioned that he was.
Yeah, when you were like, the guy, like, he's wild. He just screams, Douglas. That made me fire.
I never recognize Aaron Taylor Johnson in a big beard and blood all over his face. I probably wouldn't recognize him.
No.
Man.
So this movie kind of picks up where Braveheart leaves off.
It does, 100%, because they talk about Braveheart.
Yeah, because William Wallace has been arrested at the beginning of the film, and the Scottish lords are capitulating to the English. They're giving up and surrendering and giving back what they stole and everything.
Correct.
Yeah. And wasn't Robert the Duncan or whatever his name is. Wasn't he a character in
Robert the Bruce?
Yeah, I don't know where I got Duncan from. Robert the Bruce.
So wasn't he, what, director?
No, wasn't he a character in Braveheart?
He was, yeah. He was played by an Irish actor whose name I can't remember, who's played
Faden?
Yeah, I think so, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, I was reading up on that, because I think they were making a movie starring him next year about Robert the Bruce.
Oh,
anyway,
okay.
Go on. We just had the Robert the Bruce movie. Now we have another one.
I know. I don't want two of these, but they're making it.
I'm watching this.
So, like, I really liked the look of this movie, and I enjoyed the historical parts of it. I would say the weakest thing about it is Chris Pine.
Correct.
I thought he was really kind of just there.
Correct.
And he has a kind of a dense look on his face through most of the film that it doesn't look like he's there. He's not emotionally invested.
Nope.
And he's just trying to keep his accent and show off his abs.
Yeah.
And he showed his penis, didn't he?
Apparently, yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty good sex scene.
Yeah, and I think it was in the pond, or when he was bathing in the pond.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I remember, sorry, I had it on TV. I watched it on Netflix. So I must have not been watching.
Okay, fair enough.
I didn't want to see his pine cone.
I missed his pine cone because I was watching on TV and somebody walked in the room and I had to reduce it. Because my daughter walked in the room, so I'm like, oh, got to reduce that. No pine cone for me. I just thought this film was okay. Nothing ever. I love the end 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I like when they say, okay, we got to play the stealth game. I thought that was kind of cool when they're just hacking guys up in the church and things.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, but the first hour, I was like...
Yeah, that's the only good part about the first hour was, like, Florence Pugh, who I really like her.
Yeah.
And I thought she had a decent chemistry with Pine.
I thought Pine was, again, miscast.
I know what you guys mean, actually. Like, now that I'm thinking about it, there wasn't, like, really any point where I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I'd follow you. Because, like, even with his speeches, like, he has nothing on William Wallace.
I loved Alan Taylor Johnson. I thought he was excellent.
Yeah, apparently Ben Foster was originally cast, and then he dropped out, which is like, okay, I love Ben Foster. Like, what could have been?
I think this falls under, again, a Netflix film. It's never good. It's always okay. I always find them just okay.
The violence, like, of the war scenes really worked for me. And, yeah, like, the last 20 minutes is great.
I enjoyed it.
Sprinkle throughout with
it. I loved how they prepared the battlefield for the...
I love that scene. That was great when they're digging the trench.
Yeah, and they brought them down to their level.
Yeah.
And that was the English's authority. I mean, they were horsemen. And by taking them down to, you know, street fighting, essentially, fighting on the ground... One-on-one, they failed miserably. And I love the fact that he just sends the English king packing, wallops him and sends him running down the road.
Yeah, I didn't like his arc a lot. Like the Prince of Wales with the weird bowl cut.
No.
But yeah, okay, Daddy didn't love me. Like,
and that was... but that was part of Braveheart's arc, was that he was a homosexual and Daddy didn't love him at all.
No.
And they don't touch on the homosexuality in this one at all.
But I don't want your huge tracts of land. that's all I could think of. That character in Braveheart was from...
No, that's when they thought he gets thrown out the window. That's my favorite. Daddy, that's my war advisor. Basically, chucks him right at the window. That was my favorite.
Yeah, exactly. Sends your boyfriend flying.
Yeah.
Which Monty Python is that?
No, this is Braveheart. He actually sends the boyfriend through the window.
I can't remember it actually. I saw it a while ago.
Well, I love the end credits when they tell you he became King Edward II and his nobles killed him pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
And enough of his crap. But I'm like, okay, this film's not doing anything for me, Netflix.
Somehow, I am related to Robert the Bruce. Somehow.
There you go. Are?
Yeah. Somehow. Oh, okay. On my father's side.
There you go, Kevin.
Through my Scots ancestry.
Do you guys watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, Bob, do you watch Game of Thrones?
Nope.
Okay, well, I won't spoil it, but apparently the Red Wedding is inspired by Aaron Taylor Johnson's character and what happened to his family.
Really?
Which that's so fascinating. That's really cool because I think it was called the Black Dinner because he was known as the Black Douglas because he was so feared. So I think that's just fascinating. That's cool.
Oh,
yeah, look into that.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Red Wedding is such a huge part of Game of Thrones.
I just kind of nerded out when I learned that. I was like, wow.
Don't you nerd out daily, Dan?
Yeah, I do.
Let's be honest. Call me out for being the king of Twitter. I'll call you the king of the nerding out.
No, yeah, I mean, it's accurate.
Well, it's true.
We both are accurate.
Did we buy anything?
I bought nothing, surprisingly.
Me neither. Which is not surprising.
You know what? I don't think I did.
Oh, nothing?
No, nothing. I can't think of a single thing I bought. I've been watching a lot of Marvel movies again.
You miss them, do you?
I miss my Marvel movies.
So I saw Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, and there's a little Niffler stuffed animal, so I got that.
Oh,
what's a Nibbler? You mean...
The Niffler, the one that steals the gold and shiny things?
Yes.
Yeah, there was a little stuffed animal at my theater and I just got one.
Hang on, let's back this up. Your theater has merch?
Sorry?
Your theater sells merch?
Yeah, there's little setup for Cineplex, there's little setups for it.
Yeah, no, at the candy counter they have merchandise they sell.
Yeah, and there's a Harry Potter sorting hat and there's a Niffler, so I got one of the Nifflers.
Oh, they sell pop vinyls and things.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
But I never go to the candy counter. I did go to the movies, saw Wreck-It Ralph the other day. But
you went to Cineplex or a Landmark?
I went to a Landmark.
Okay, yeah.
Well, there you go.
I went to Cineplex with Bob, and it was weird going to Cineplex because they have King Kong statues and all these statues all over the place.
Is this 2005?
It's just weird. Okay. Anything you guys looking forward to for Christmas? You got 4 minutes.
There's some great Christmas movies coming up. I'm looking forward to not as many as usual, but I'm looking forward to Aquaman and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Me too.
And oddly enough, I want to see Mary Poppins Returns.
So do I.
Yeah, same.
But no James Bond this year. No Star Wars movie.
I know. I'm upset.
Under the Silver Lake is coming.
Hey, Anna and the Apocalypse is coming.
That looks it's a zombie musical.
I know, Bob. I forgot to tell you that I watched the trailers this year.
Okay.
I saw a tiny bit of Mary Poppins.
Okay.
Because I wanted to see what she looked like.
Yeah.
I'm 100% on board.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to Mary Poppins, too.
I'm amazed they even... I was going to say, I'm surprised to hear they even dragged Penis by a Lesbian out of retirement.
They did. He's only in it for one scene.
To do that. Yeah, otherwise known as Dick Van Dyke.
Yes.
I was like, who the heck are you talking about?
I know you're talking about. That's his favorite joke. All
right. Yeah.
Look at Aquaman. I haven't seen anything. Does it look good, Kevin?
Which one, Aquaman?
Yes.
You know what? It's trending very well. Advanced ticket sales, they say, are better than Avengers Infinity War, so they're very excited about
that. There's no way.
But, it's a DC movie, so how good can it be? And secondly, it's Aquaman. They were making fun of Aquaman on, what was that show?
Family Guy?
No, the Mark Wahlberg show with the four guys in L.A., Entourage.
And
that was one season. Was the lead? One of the lead guys was a joke. He was the lead in Aquaman the movie.
Yes.
And now we actually have Aquaman the movie, and it looks like a genuinely interesting big production value movie. My only worry from looking at all the trailers is it's going to devolve into another giant CGI battle with monsters and who throw away guys and all sorts of shit going on in the background, and I don't know.
But I think James Wan directing it gives it some merit.
That's the only merit I have for it. I'm with you, Dad. It's James Wan directing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Also, are you guys intrigued at all by Mortal Engines or Alita Battle Angel?
Alita Battle Angel got moved to February.
Oh, did it? Okay.
So skip that one. And what's the other one you just met? I don't know what Mortal Engines is. I just saw a preview today and I turned the channel, so I don't know what it's about.
Yeah, no, I don't care about Mortal Engines.
How about Bumblebee for Bob? Because you know he'll be there.
I don't care about Transformers bullshit.
No, you are.
Haley Steinfeld and John Cena.
Okay, are we done, ladies?
And Welcome to Marwen. That's really good.
Oh yes, I do want to see Welcome to Marwen.
I can't help but think of Dinner for Schmucks, but
I hated Dinner for Schmucks.
But he's making the little characters again, the little miniatures.
I know that the trailer for Lego Movie's out, but that movie's not coming out till next.
I've heard that twice. I've seen bits of that because everything is awesome. Everything is not awesome.
Apparently Venom was a big hit. It's made over $800 million.
I saw that. I'm like, what are these people watching this crap for?
At least they're gonna get the Carnage one.
I guess so, yeah.
With Woody?
Yeah.
Woody's.
Yikes.
Woody.
Lots of buzz about when we might see a trailer for Avengers 4.
January?
So there was a theory it was going to be out this last Friday, and obviously that didn't happen, the 21st. So it might be out next Friday, the 28th. But someone made a good point, is that they've started a countdown on the Avengers 4 website, and I think it was like 160 days or something like that. I don't know what the thing is. But basically, if you were to go into the number 14,605,000, whatever the Doctor Strange potential futures.
Yes.
That countdown hits that number on Thursday, December the 13th, which is the release night of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, that would make sense. Then.
Ooh.
Which would make sense for that to be the release date for the trailer.
Well,
and apparently they're going to be very cagey, and it's going to be very... almost no information.
Oh, so I could watch it? Do you think I could watch it then? Be okay?
I don't know. Well, you have to ask for a third opinion before you can. But obviously, there's still a lot. I mean, if you go to YouTube, there's like a million videos where people are still speculating. No one knows what it's about. What's this movie going to be about?
I'm sure if everybody knows, Kevin will find out for us.
We know it's resolving the whole thing and that some characters that are dead will be back because they have movies coming in.
Well, Black Panther 2 is coming, so yeah. I think he'll come by.
Well, they finished filming Spider-Man, so he has to come back because there he is in a movie. But is it time travel? Is it quantum realm stuff? Is it
Far From Home? That's an intriguing title, right?
Well, it's the basic premise is that the kids go on a school trip to Europe.
Oh, okay. I thought he's going to be on a different planet or something.
No, it's in Europe. And then he fights Mysterio as the main villain.
Cool. I love Mysterio, so I'm looking forward to that.
But it involves S.H.I.E.L.D. because Nick Fury and Maria Hill are in the movie.
Maria Hill, that's Kobe Smulders, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she'll sing a song in a mall.
Excellent. And if they make it...
Simon will cut the conversation and end the show.
Correct. Good night.
See ya.
Goodbye.
See ya. Bye.